Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio. This is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm in the Dog Bowl in Berea after the worst performance of the season for the Cleveland Browns. It was ugly. Johnny Manziel, not good. The defense, not good. The offense, not good. The Browns, not good. 30-0, they ultimately end up losing this game in their final home game of the season. The Cleveland Browns go down 30-0 to the Cincinnati Bengals. What a difference it was from the Thursday night game, 24-3 down in Cincy. And this one, 30-0 in front of the Bengals. I'm sorry, it was not good. It was, I think everybody was disappointed by the outcome. I don't think anybody thinks it was acceptable. I'm not making excuses for anybody. I don't think that there was much good play on the field for the Browns. You wanted to just say, oh, here's a moment we could hang our hat on. There really wasn't a moment. Even Craig Robertson, nice interception. That was probably the best play of the game. But ultimately, they gave up 244 yards on the ground to the Cincinnati Bengals. The Browns mustered just 107 yards of total offense on this day. Defensively, they were beaten up. Offensively, they never got in a rhythm. They couldn't generate anything. It was just one of those nightmarish games. That's what I'll call it. As I was sitting on the side, I'm like, this is a nightmare coming true for the Cleveland Browns, and that's what happened against the Cincinnati Bengals. Matt, what did you see out there?
What did I see? A whole lot of nothing is what I saw. And again, we're going to point a lot of fingers at the individuals that were out on the football field. But as I said in a video that you can find at Browns.com, I think a lot of this got to fall on the coaches. You know, the lack of motivation. And in some cases, every coach, if they truly know the pulse of a locker room, and we heard Coach Pettine talk about, you know, that it factor that you have to have and bring to, more so than anything, every football game we play in, but the big games, those great football players or those great teams or even a good team trying to be great puts their best foot forward when they have an opportunity like the Cleveland Browns did yesterday. And so there's a huge amount of onus in my eyes that's got to fall on the coordinators and the game that they called, and also too is that at no point in that football game could they stop the you-know-what from running downhill, both offensively and defensively. And I'm not trying to say some quick fix, but at certain points, you have to deviate from your game plan, and you've got to make some calls, whether it's, you know, an all-out blitz to get pressure on Dalton, and that becomes what you hang your hat on, or a certain play or a certain scheme offensively that you can go to that just makes Johnny Manziel seem comfortable. He looked uncomfortable all day, and that is not by any means coming from the point where it's, he's a rookie, that excuse. No, he looked uncomfortable as a quarterback. And I think Brian Hoyer would have been uncomfortable as a quarterback of that football team. And lastly, what bothers me the most is, it's that a fan base that has turned out in numbers all year long and turned out like no other yesterday to come see Johnny Manziel.
It was the most hyped game with the worst payoff ever.
Worst payoff ever is that. That's the last time. That's the taste after a good season and some strong home performances. That is the taste that you leave in a home football game with your Cleveland Brown fan base and the dog pound for now 9 months before you get to do it again.
And that's why this one hurts so much. And we do want to get your reaction, 216-578-0850 here on today's show. We're going to continue to get into it. This isn't a game that even really needs much analysis.
No.
There's not much analysis to have here. They dominated offensively. They dominated defensively. They ran the ball whenever they wanted to, right down the throats of the Browns. Jeremy Hill, who had talked trash about the Browns, runs for a 158 and two touchdowns, and seemingly did whatever he wanted whenever he wanted, throwing
inside,
stiff arms,
outside, stiff arms, money
faces,
signs.
Money signs, 148 yards, I'm sorry, 5.9 a carry. Giovanni Bernard, he had 79 at 5.3 for his own in his own right. It was one of those things where nothing worked. The Browns' second-leading receiver on the day was Isaiah Crowell, two catches for 10 yards. They couldn't run. They could not pass. They were not able to have any success in this game whatsoever. They got almost doubled up in plays. Again, it's not one where you need a lot of analysis. It's just disappointing. You wonder how it could happen. The line was bad on both sides of the ball. It was just there's no spin. And I know people, oh, I can't wait to see how you're going to defend Johnny and you're going to blame everybody else. This was a game where everybody on the Cleveland Browns was beaten. Nobody's going to come and say this was, I played well. And I know there are some good individual plays. Craig Robertson did well. Paul Kruger had another sack, his 10th on the season. Desmond Bryan had another sack. Pierre Desir, I thought, came in and played a great game. Once Hayden and Justin Gilbert went out with injuries, Buster Skrine played well also. They couldn't throw the ball, but they just needed a turnaround handoff. And they weren't doing anything gimmicky. They were running power isolation football right down the Browns' throats.
And you know what, Nathan? I've played in a football game, not like this, meaning 30 to nothing, but again, as I've said earlier in the season, I actually was a part of the defense. I had 19 tackles, but I was beat up and we got ran over, very similarly the way the Bengals did yesterday to Adrian Peterson when he set the record. You know, we had him probably for like 79 yards in the first half, and then in the second half, they went in and made adjustments, and they figured out what we were doing to stop them, or in this case, limit them. And they started lining up in a play, and we got into a defense that we thought was stout to stop this run, and they just started gashing us. And all they really did was run the same play two times to the right, one time to the left. And it was the same play over and over again. And we heard John Lynch, who was calling the game for Fox, talk about that double pull. And it's like they ran it over and over and over again. In this case, they weren't pulling Whitworth. It was Winston and that right guard pulling to the left side time and time again. And what it did, it gave Jeremy Hill an opportunity to run inside, to bounce the football, or follow his blockers off tackle. And there was nothing that we can do to stop that football play. I mean, I'm seeing it. I wasn't even a part of it. I'm seeing it. I'm having nightmares about that football play.
It was awful. It was just downright awful. And as I said, you know, it was a game that came in with so much hype. There was so much anticipation for it. And it ended up being just really as bad as it could have been. It was, as I said, a nightmarish performance. I think Johnny Manziel wishes that his debut would have gone any other way. And I think when you even hear him talk, you know, he said it was tough. It was certainly not what he wanted to do. And it was basically, he felt that, you know, it was a fail on my part for the position. And it was tough. It's going to take time. It's progress for sure. He just did not. It was ugly. I mean, the bottom line is this was just an absolutely ugly performance. Johnny looked uncomfortable. I thought his footwork reverted to many of the things we saw on tape from Texas A&M, throwing with that scissor kick, hopping, not stepping into his throws, not looking calm in the pocket. He didn't have time in the pocket when he was there. He was constantly under pressure from this pass rush of the Bengals. It was just absolutely as bad as it could have been.
And I hated, the one thing I hated about yesterday is, and we talked about it, you know, zone read, pistol, this. I hated the pistol formation. Every single time that we lined up in that pistol formation, it's like you got Manziel 4 yards deep, you got a running back a yard behind him, and Ray Agnew standing about two. It looks like this cluster in the backfield that gives you no opportunity to succeed. When you think Johnny Manziel in space, but yet you put two bodies within 2 yards of him in the backfield, and then also the first third down, or you know, we line up those three guys in that wide cluster and expect Johnny to make a play. I just thought it was this gimmicky offense that we created on a whim to try to fit what we thought fit Johnny Manziel. Whereas, as I said last week, we have to deviate slightly because the Brian Hoyer and Johnny Manziel skill set are totally different, but you can't change who you are in week 15 to move forward for one person. And I think that was the detriment offensively yesterday.
It just, well, it's also a detriment. There were a few drop passes, opportunities to make plays, to like get some continuity going, to get anything going on the, you know, to get any momentum. 5 first downs in the entire game.
It's horrible. How many by penalty?
And 2 were by penalty. So this was just one of those games where the Browns really could do nothing right, and they were beaten. I don't know. People want sugarcoat or you want excuses. No excuses. It was rough. And the Browns, it didn't matter what they tried to do defensively, it didn't seem to have any effect whatsoever on the Cincinnati Bengals offense. The pass deep did fine, but that doesn't matter when a team's running for 244 yards on you. That's an overall defensive effort that just wasn't there. And there were times when they did put 8 men in the box. There were times when they tried to stuff the box, and it didn't matter.
No, it didn't.
That was the problem. It did not matter. Complete domination at the point of attack by the Bengals. And this was one of those things. I mean, were you ever a part of a game like this?
I was never a part of a game. Not like this. Not this bad. Not this one-sided. And that's where also, too, is you talk about a heavyweight fight. And this is a fight that, like, the trainer or head coach in the corner would have had to throw in the white towel, you know, in the middle of the third quarter. Because one person, this is, you know, Apollo Creed and Ivan Drago, one person's getting punched over and over and over and over and over again, and the other team's not fighting back. And that is the one thing that concerns me moving forward is it the lack of motivation. And the one thing that I know, I hope Coach Pettine should be having thoughts about right now is losing this team at this point in the season this late and then having them leave the city of Cleveland and leave this facility to go live their lives and enjoy the offseason doing what they do, living where they live if it's not here. And then having them come back and having to rebuild that culture again because of this nasty end-of-the-season taste in the mouth that we've created for ourselves.
And it is unfortunate. And right, three-game losing streak now. You need to go ahead and figure out a way to get some momentum back against, of course, the Carolina Panthers, because that's what you're going to do. This is tough. This is a tough one. This is a tough one to handle because you can't point to anything and say, hey, at least there was this. This was a game where the Browns were dominated in a division game, a game that had playoff implications on their home field. And I think there are going to be a lot of searching after this. I don't know if it was a hangover from the Indianapolis game, the way that that game was lost, if that affected the Browns. But this one here was a performance that I'm pretty sure everybody on the Browns would think was an unacceptable type of a performance. All right. When we come back, we're going to open up the phone lines, 216-578-0850 here on Browns Daily. Where does this team go from here? If you're the Brown, you're Mike Pettine, what are you saying to this team about what happened against the Bengals and how you turn it around? What do you want to see from Johnny Manziel going forward? The good news is I think we've seen the worst. I'd like to think we've seen the worst. I don't know that it can get any worse from here at all. I don't understand it. I think that it was a rough performance, and hopefully things will get better for both the team and for their quarterback, Johnny Manziel. 216-578-0850. Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns, will be with us at 1:45. And, of course, three topics with Super Bowl MVP Gerard Cherry at 2:30. They will be with us. Big thanks to Brent Stelick and the team president, Alex Shiner, dropping off some sushi here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. What fine gentlemen run this organization. All right, we'll be back with more of your thoughts here on CBD.